And now your speaker is Keith Young.
Brethren, we need to take those great men and women of faith and lift them up in front of our children and ourselves to help us to see just what God knows that we can be if we would but do His will and be men and women of faith and follow in the footsteps of these great individuals. I want to lift us up with the example of one of those individuals. I want us to look at a man from the Bible who has been said to walk with God. And I want us to look at his life and see how that life that he lived is a life that is a template for us so that we can be those of faith as well as he was and use him as an example for us. About 11 centuries after the creation of Adam and Eve, Lamech had a person, he had a child born to him that he would call by the name of Noah. When Lamech had this son, he was 182 years old. And it was such that it was that Methuselah, the oldest man who ever lived, he was still alive. That was Noah's grandfather and was a contemporary with Adam for over 240 years. And so it was that Methuselah, Noah's grandfather, would have known firsthand the events of the Garden of Eden. He would have known Adam. He would have known what Adam went through. He would have known the experiences that was the life of Adam. And so he would have known about the creation, about the provisions of the garden, and all that God had desired for man, and the fall that had cost man the beautiful garden that God had designed for him. It is such that Lamech, again the father, as we said, of Noah, would have heard the preaching of Enoch, great-grandfather to Noah. He would have known about the noble life of this man and understood his great example, as we're told in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24, that he, as will be seen to describe Noah as well, was a man that walked with God. But we see at the last part of verse 24, and he was not. Why? Because God took him. He didn't have to face death because of his righteousness. And Noah would have known of the example of Enoch and the righteousness that had allowed him never to have to face death. And no doubt this had a great impression on the life of Noah. But for all that good that was there, for all that he would have known from those who could have talked to Adam, for all that he would have known about his great-grandfather, Enoch, Noah could look at a world around him and see there was a problem. If you go into Genesis chapter 6, you see that man had refused to obey God. It is such that evil was continually being done. Notice in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Man had become so evil. Man had chosen, as God had given him free will, to the point that man's choices completely went away from God. And it wasn't that they chose wrong at times, but it was a consistent thing with mankind. Continually did evil, did that which was against God's will. They did nothing, did mankind, that was pure. Nothing that was noble. Nothing that was good. Nothing that was honorable. Man had become a festering sore to the point that we read in verse 6 that it grieved God at His heart. How terrible that man had rejected God to this point. But we understand it's possible, it's still possible today, that man can become so wicked, so morally reprobate, that they will get to a point where there is no goodness left, that they're beyond the point of return to be able to ever be righteous because of the wicked choices that they have allowed to fill their heart. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, but it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. This is the world that Noah lived in. This is the world that Noah had to strive to be righteous within and try to do what was right. And that's exactly what he was facing in those days. There was rapid wickedness, immorality all around him. But yet notice what is said in verse 8 of Genesis chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It grieved God that He had even made man. Everywhere God looked, man was about evil continually, except Noah. Except for this one man. He was a great man who lived in the midst of runaway immorality. It is such that even many believe that his own grandfather and his father had given way into this wickedness as well. And yet, we see that he is one who stayed firm to his beliefs and his faith in God, even though everybody else in the world was against him, was against God, was doing what they should not do. And you know, sometimes we look at our own lives and we look at the rapid immorality and wickedness that is around us. But just like Noah, we must see that it is possible to live righteous in the midst of unrighteousness. And again, we got to lift up those heroes of the Bible and help our children who, as we look at this world and see how it's going, we got to fortify and help them to be ready to face what's going to come so that they will be prepared to go to heaven. But consider other great heroes that we can lift up of the Bible. Consider that Daniel lived amongst great wickedness, taken into captivity in Babylon, a servant who had no rights, who had to follow the will of those who were by physical force his superiors, but yet he still would not allow them to compromise his faith in God. What about Abraham, a nomad traveling into other people's nations, and yet wherever he was, he still sought to do the will of God? What about Moses, raised in the house of Pharaoh, and yet when it came time, he chose the life of a servant above the pleasures of those who would follow the world? Pharaoh's own house. What about Jeremiah, who's as sad as any other case because it was God's own chosen people who persecuted and terrorized him? What about Paul and Silas, who only sought to teach that gospel and yet were put in prison in Acts chapter 16, but they couldn't be brought down? Verse 25 tells us how they were singing and praising God, serving Him no matter the situation. Consider Exodus 23 and verse 2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Don't follow a multitude to do evil, even if it's our kinfolk. Even if it's our father and our grandfather like Noah may have had to face. Even if it is everybody on the face of the earth around us except for our wife and our children and their wives. Do we have the faith like Noah had to be able to stand in these situations? Do we have the faith to be able to stand and make sure our children understand what we're doing and being the Christians that we need to be for their sakes so that we can help them be able to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? This is the man Noah. And this is what he can teach us. Let us look at some descriptions of this man's life. Let us look at some ways that we can take his life and help us in our lives, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to build us up, and to help us to be more what we need to be the complete Christians that God designed for us to be. Noah was a man of courage. You think about this man, he stood alone against the world. Everywhere that even the Almighty God looked, he saw evil continually. Not just people doing evil acts sometimes. Not just people doing evil acts most of the time. He saw people doing evil acts all the time. And it was such that Noah had to withstand this influence. Even the influence of his father and his grandfather. And it is such that he had to stay faithful to God no matter what everybody else was doing. Consider our own selves today. Too many today are following their families into wickedness. Too many today are allowing outside influences to cause them to accept things that God does not want in their lives, and allowing things to creep into their lives that are taking them away from God's design. You think about it. Enoch brought forth Methuselah, who brought forth Lamech. Enoch was such a righteous man, called as one who walked with God, and yet it seems like his own son and his own grandson lost the faith. Somewhere, they lost what made Enoch such a wonderful servant to God. Do you think it just happened suddenly? Or do you think it happened slowly? We as Christians need to be careful. Because sometimes if we're not paying attention and we're not the men of courage who stand where we need to, it's the little things that chip at our faith that cause us to be taken away from God. Noah was a courageous man because he didn't let the odds stop him. He didn't let the fact of all the wickedness that was around him keep him from being the servant of God he needed to be. He was one who boldly spoke in the Lord's name, proclaiming His message to others. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, notice what the Apostle Peter wrote about this man, Noah. "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." A preacher of righteousness. He proclaimed God. He had the courage to look at the sin of others and understanding they needed God in their lives. And that they were lost, and it was going to rain, and destruction was going to come to them. That he stood before them, and he proclaimed the message of God, and he tried to save their souls. For over 100 years, he preached a message that no one would listen to. Noah preached all those years without a single convert outside of his own personal family, which was a great success in itself, but still. Many times we think we got it tough. We get discouraged when we talk to others and they don't listen. We become those who don't want to share the message because it seems to be hard. But look at Noah. Look what Noah went through. Look at how he was rejected. And yet, if you notice this man, and it is to his eternal credit that as we discuss his life and look at him, that he did not become discouraged and he did not doubt the message. He knew it was going to rain. He understood he had to complete that ark. He understood that God expected this of him, and if he did not do it, that there was coming a time of judgment and he was going to have to answer for those actions. And sometimes if we're not careful, just like it took that time before Noah saw the occurrence of all that he had done, we can lose our focus and forget what we're fighting for. Forget what we're trying to build in the Lord's name. Forget what's at stake with the souls that are around us as well as our own. I see many who get discouraged today, who think maybe it's too much, or I just can't reach others. Or I just can't evangelize. Or they stop trying to reach others and thinking it's just too hard. Consider what Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There came a time when it rained, when the door of that ark was closed, when what God said would happen, happened. And brethren, our Lord has given us promises as well. We know there's a time coming when we must all stand before the judgment seat of God, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We know that it will not only be us, but it will be everyone else around us. And if they have not obeyed God, then we also understand the promises of that God who cannot lie, Titus 1 and verse 2, that judgment is coming to the just and to the unjust. And we need, just like Noah did, to help them be ready. Noah kept sowing the seed, but saw that it fell only on hard ground. But he kept preaching. He kept teaching. He kept reaching out to them. We got to realize that it is only our job to present the message. We can't make anyone else obey. We can't make them want the gospel. We can't make them desire to be saved by that gospel. That if they are going to be saved, it is by the power of the gospel. It's not by us, Romans 1 and verse 16. And therefore, when we present that message, if they reject it, they're not rejecting us. If they accept it, they're not accepting us. They're either accepting God or they're rejecting God. 1 Corinthians verse 6 of chapter 3. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And therefore we present the message. We want the whole world to be saved, but we understand they weren't saved during the time of Noah with his message. We understand when the master teacher himself was on the face of the earth, not everybody listened to him. And it is such that they're not going to listen to us. But we still got to plant. We still got to water. We still got to get out there and do our part, just like Noah did. Consider the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. But brethren, what greater joy is there to be one who helped those few see the message of Christ? What greater joy than on the day of judgment to have someone say, "Thank you for teaching me about Jesus." Do you think Noah was a joyful man on the day that door shut, when he was able to look over there and there was his wife, there was his children in the safety of the ark with him? In the midst of wickedness, we see that Noah was one who stayed faithful to God. We see that he was one that did what God wanted him to, and it was such that in the midst of all this, he preached righteousness. He taught the truth. He defended the faith. He sowed the seed, and he didn't worry about the results. He left that up to the message, and if people didn't listen to the message, that was their choice. God created us with the ability to choose, but they couldn't say to Noah, "You didn't ever tell me about it, Noah. You didn't give me the opportunity." All those people outside the ark, as they saw the destruction that was coming, as the violence of the flood began, they couldn't say, "Noah, why didn't you help us?" Because Noah had tried. But also Noah was just and perfect. Look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. Notice here, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Notice here, he was just and perfect. When we look at that word just, it means to do that which is right or to be righteous. Consider Psalm 119 in verse 172. "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous." Add to that 1 John chapter 3, verse 7, and also we'll look at verse 10. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous." Consider with that verse 10. "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. He that loveth not his brother, neither is he that loveth not his brother." Noah was perfect. Why? Why was Noah such a complete man? Why was he the complete man that God wanted him to be? As we know, perfect means, as we study it from the King James, it wasn't that he was sinless, but he was blameless. Why? Because he did what God asked him to. Consider what made Jesus perfect. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 9, notice what it says of our Savior, Jesus. "Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that" what? "Obey him." He became the complete Savior we needed, not because he needed something to overcome sin, because he never sinned. He never had sin in his life, but it was such that he learned to be the perfect Savior that we needed because of his obedience. Because he followed the plan that God had put before him. Because he did what was needed for him to be the Savior that we needed. Well, why is it that we describe this man Noah as perfect? Because he obeyed God. He was the complete man that God desired him to be. He followed through with what God wanted him to be. You notice it says of Enoch that he walked with God and he was taken and never had to face death. Noah has the same description, but he had to build an ark. He had to go through all this other effort. Why? Because that's what God needed him to do. He was the complete man of faith that God needed him to be. And so he obeyed God and walked with him in this and did what God needed him to do to preserve mankind when all others were wicked and God was going to bring judgment upon them because of this. But in this, as we've said earlier, Noah lived by faith. And look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. In that great chapter of faith, we have this man Noah mentioned as well. And it says of him, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Notice here, Noah was moved with fear and prepared an ark. You know, it's interesting. So many people today don't want to see the action that is required of faith. They don't want to see the obedience that is required of faith. But if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, every time it uses this word by faith, you see something of an action following it. You see people doing something because their faith required this of them if they were going to be obedient to God. They don't understand that obedience is a requirement of faith as God desires it. And so when you look at this man Noah, you notice here this action that describes the faith of Noah. He was being warned of God, moved with fear. Why? To prepare an ark. Because God told him what was coming. If Noah would not have been a man of action, he would not have been a man of faith. His faith showed obedience. Just like every other incident in Hebrews chapter 11. And it is such that faith produces works of obedience. In fact, I'd go on so far to say is that no man was ever blessed on account of his faith until that faith manifested itself in acts of obedience. Go back and look at verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11. If you're like me, I can't stop when I read by faith because I know something's supposed to follow it. I understand that by faith, Noah, that isn't the whole sentence. That's not the whole idea. But instead, we see that faith exemplified in the words that follow. He was moved with fear. What kind of fear? You notice verse 7, it says he was moved with fear. Well, what kind of fear was it? It was a godly fear, a fear that understood who made these promises, who was carrying out this. And so when God told him it's going to rain, when he told him of the destruction that was coming, when he told him of his need to build that ark or prepare an ark, it was such that he understood, I better do it. Why? Because he had a fear of God and that he understood if God said it, it was going to happen. And this is another reason that Noah was moved to obey. He understood the majesty of God. He knew that he should be reverenced in godly fear. And therefore he understood that whatever God said was going to happen exactly as God said it. And he better get a building because it is such that if he doesn't obey God, well then he would be lost like all the rest. To be godly means to love God, to be a follower of God, to emulate God. Do we seek to be godly like Noah did? Who do we pattern our lives after? So many times I'm afraid that if we're not careful, we'll allow the things of this world to influence us and we start using the terminology of the world. We start using the ideas of the world. We start being a part of the practice of the world. And then we're not that peculiar nation that Peter said we're supposed to be. And we lose the preciousness of what God has given to us. And it is such that we need to be careful to always seek to be godly. To have godly fear or respect and reverence of God for in our lives, being unwilling to do anything that would displease Him. Why did Noah build that ark? Because he wanted to serve God. Is our life set in a place where we desire to serve God above anything else? Where it is such that whatever God desires of us, that's our main priority no matter how the rest of the world sees it. That was the example that Noah gave. And finally, Noah was obedient. If you were to look at Noah's life, I think there is no one word description that fits his life better than obedient. It was such that he was one that if you looked at it and you realize about his obedience that you cannot be courageous, just, faithful, and have godly fear unless you're obedient. And Noah was one of great obedience. You look at Noah's life. What was he told? Build an ark. What did Noah do? He took exactly what God told him about those dimensions. He took the materials that he was supposed to use, and he did it exactly the way God told him to do. Genesis 7 in verse 5. He was given a pattern, and he obeyed. Plain and simple. That's all it was. Noah did exactly what God said. He didn't question it. He just did it. He followed God because he understood that God's plan was the best way for Noah to proceed. Today, we are given the dimensions and materials to be used in the present day ark of safety, the church. Our Lord has told us how it is to be constructed. He has told us what it is to be made of. He's told us how to take care of it. Now you consider Noah, and if Noah had built that ark and had not used the dimensions and material that God had commanded him to do, what would have happened to it? It would have sunk. The same is true of us today. If we seek to be a part of a church that is not after the Lord's design, if we're not in the ark of safety that is given to us, the church today, and following His pattern for us, then it is true that it will sink as well. And so it is that as we look at our lives and we look at what we do as a congregation, we need to realize what Noah can teach us. We need to be one who understands his obedience and how that he was saved through that obedience. And so will we. And as we look at his life, we understand that he is such a wonderful example to emulate. He's somebody that needs to be lifted up. He's someone that we need to show our children and use ourselves as an example to help us in difficult times, because the times don't get much more difficult than what Noah had to face in his lifetime. And just as he was able to succeed and be the man of faith that God wanted him to be, we can use his example to help us to be the men and women of faith that we need to be. He was courageous. And God gives us the ability to be courageous as well. He was righteous. And God gives us the ability to be righteous as well. He was faithful. And God has given us everything we need to be faithful as well. He was full of godly fear. And we can be full of that fear as well. And finally, he was obedient.